Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 144 of the Savaggio and Cruddy Sports Podcast. Here for you on May 24th, 7:08 p.m. Pretty compact show today, with really just Celtics going on, a little bit of hockey stuff in various realms, and one baseball note, and our sports logo draft. Maybe we'll do some more drafts as, you know, things kind of slow down in the sports world. We'll see what's next. We have another one planned. With a familiar face to some, sometime in the summer, once, you know, things are a little slow, we'll make that happen. But he was not around tonight, so we're doing a sports logo draft at the end of the show, just me and Ryan tonight. But before we get into moments of the week, that will segue us into basketball. How are we doing, Ryan?
Doing good. The Celtics last night were able to make my mindset put it at ease a little bit. As like you said, we'll get to Celtics a little later on. But if they were to lose last night, I probably would not have been in the best of moods doing this tonight, but not too bad, to say the least.
Good, good. Yeah, I got to be honest, you know, I thought it was over last night for the Celtics, but it's not.
As did I. Yeah.
My moment of the week is essentially going to cover some hockey topics. So, like, we don't have a big drawn-out hockey segment today, but first off, we might have sweeps in both conference finals on the horizon. We'll see what happens with Florida and Carolina tonight, but Carolina has their backs up against the wall, could get swept. That'd be a real shame. And the Vegas Golden Knights shut out the Dallas Stars last night, booted Jake Ottinger from the net, 7-10 into the game on 3 goals. And things are looking pretty ugly for the Stars. His luck has run out a little bit in the net. I'm not going to say it's all luck for Jake Ottinger, but, you know, he hasn't been that stone wall we've seen in the past. And the Stars, you know, just haven't quite been themselves. It's been very surprising. And with that, I would like to pass on the title of hockey expert to Ryan, because it looks like he is going to be right. As you, if you missed last week's show, he had the Panthers and Vegas. I had Stars and Hurricanes. And it looks like I'm going to be wrong. Ryan, in late June, I am looking forward to your first round 2023 NHL mock draft.
Yep, I'll be definitely putting that out in my notes. I have it saved, ready to go. And I'll have a very in-depth analysis of every prospect in the draft, or at least that's going to go in the first round. I'm not going to bore everyone with what I think of every potential NHL draft prospect. But yeah, I mean, for the people that might've missed it, I told you, I texted you last night when we were talking about this, picked Vegas just solely out of spite. And then as we talked about last week, like Florida just seems to, and we've seen in this series, you know, not scoring a ton, but getting excellent goaltending from Sergei Bobrovsky, who I think has earned the right to be called by his actual name now with how well he's been playing in this series.
I guess so.
Instead of Bubtitsky. But they just have that team of destiny feel. And like I said, we're seeing it in this series. They really can do no wrong. And then with the suspension of Ben tonight last night for Dallas, that's a big loss for them. That series is probably over too.
Yeah. And, very LA Kings vibes, 2012 LA Kings vibes when they beat the top three seeds, and then the two seed, I believe, in the East to win in 2012. Kind of like what the Heat are doing in a way, too, ironically, because they're both in South Florida. But the Celtics squashed any idea of all four conference final series being sweeps, of course, with the Nuggets sweeping the Lakers. So, yeah, we'll see what happens tonight. We can see one more sweep or, you know, maybe a Hurricanes make things interesting. I think Florida is going to pull it off tonight, though, and sweep them, which I said earlier would be a real shame. Really hate to see that. Also, next up, fuck Andrew Shaw, already known as a bad guy, has hurled some slurs around on the ice in his day, which is gladly over in the NHL. And now he's just making himself look like a complete ass going on the – I got to pull up the tweet here. The name of the podcast he was on, the Raw Knuckles podcast, said in relation to the Kyle Beach situation with the Blackhawks, I had nothing bad to say about Kyle, but it's a shame that this had to, like, something like this had to go this far, or that far rather, when it could have been nipped in the bud pretty quick. As a 20-year-old, I would have never put myself in the situation Kyle was in. He put himself in a bad situation. Like, come on, dude. I know you're a fucking rock brain idiot, but like, really, like,
file that under one of those things that, like, you can think to yourself and say to yourself, but don't ever put it out in the public because you're going to get flamed for it, and rightfully so.
Yeah, like, what a fucking absolute donkey thing to say. And then someone else made a good point. This is from Church Carlton on Twitter. that Kyle Beach literally covered Andrew Shaw's rent and groceries when the latter was just starting out, and Shaw can't even manage to be mildly empathetic about Beach's sexual assault.
Nice guy, real class act.
Yeah, real sick guy, Andrew Shaw. So fuck him, already an asshole. And now he's just even more of an asshole, bad person all around. Thought that was worth mentioning to people. You know, if you want another reason to hate Andrew Shaw, there it is. Mm-hmm. Also in the hockey world, Don Sweeney, along with Jim Nill and Bill Zito, was named a finalist for GM of the Year this year. I don't really know why Bill Zito is in the mix, to be honest. Florida didn't make any moves at the trade deadline, and the Matthew Tkachuk trade was in the offseason. Mm-hmm. So you can give him credit for that. But, I mean,
factor in the playoff run, which I didn't think you're supposed to do with regular season awards, but
maybe some people are nominating because the shrewdness to keep the roster how it is. I don't know. Maybe. Like, I don't really get it. Know. Jim Nill, of course, with the playoffs now and things going south to the Stars, maybe that hurts him. Mm-hmm. And Don Sweeney seems like the slam dunk, but I kind of wonder if people are going to hold the Mitchell Miller thing over his head when voting for him this year, which would be totally reasonable. But although they did bow out in the first round, Sweeney made a lot of shrewd moves this year and put them in a position to succeed. But of course, that did not happen. So I think it's Don Sweeney's to lose, but won't be surprised if it's Jim Nill. I think it'll be one of the two.
Yep.
And last but not least, the cap might go up more than $1 million.
That helps.
Helpful for the Bruins because those bonuses, a tight picture, regardless of the bonuses. So hopefully it's quite a big bump. It's been the bumps have been few and far between the last 3 or 4 years. I think between last year and this year is the only year in the last four that we've seen a bump. But yeah, it was funny because in the TSN article I read, they showed the salary cap every year dating back to like 2005. It was like 39 million in 2005. Can you imagine?
Jesus, no.
That's so crazy. I didn't even like remember that because it was so long ago. But hoping for the biggest bump in the salary cap possible, maybe that'll at least the Bruins be able to keep a guy like Tyler Bertuzzi.
That would help quite a bit. Yep.
So your thoughts on Sweeney, your thoughts on the cap, and anything else we discussed?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's going to sound like the homer pick, but it's Sweeney for me because, again, all the questions going into the regular season, again, with guys injured, stuff like that, what would this team look like? To be able to bring back Bergeron, bring back Krejci, obviously make the moves in the regular season to get guys like Bertuzzi and Orlov and Hathaway. Like, it's got it. And Zaka too. Yeah, that one kind of flies under the radar. You forget about him a little bit. It's him for me because, again, like you said, all the moves he tried to make to get this team over the hump seems like a slam dunk.
Yeah, I agree. But your moment of the week segues us into a quick baseball point. Nothing super crazy going on with the Red Sox lately that, you know, requires a big discussion. But Corey Kluber earlier today was moved to the bullpen, or the corpse of Corey Kluber.
Exactly, yeah. It's a move I understand to some degree. And like you said, like it wouldn't make a lot of sense for us to come in here. The Red Sox are pretty much treading water at this point. Like they have some good series, then they go out and like lose two to the Angels that they should be able to beat, haven't scored a run in however many innings it's been now. So instead of dreading and talking about that, like you said, Corey Kluber, the big news, he gets moved to the bullpen today. Alex Cora confirmed that, on WEEI's Gresham Fourier this afternoon. Tanner Houck is going to stay in the rotation. So when Garrett Whitlock does come back, I believe this weekend he's set to come off the injured list. The rotation is by default going to look like Chris Sale, James Paxton, Brian Bale, Garrett Whitlock, and Tanner Houck, which I don't know if you feel any differently about this. Like I've come around at this point. I know people who have listened to me have, for the longest time, I've wanted Whitlock in the bullpen. But as we know, he's got a lot of clauses in his contract that has some starter stuff tied to it. They're going to try to make him a starter. Look, he's probably a better option than Corey Kluber. My whole thing he absolutely is 100%. My whole thing is, it's like, at this point, what are we doing with Corey Kluber? Like, the guy can't get anybody out in the rotation. He can't hit 90 miles per hour. I don't have any advanced stats or anything here in the outline, but he's basically like one of the, looking at it the other day, like either below average, well below average, or like one of the worst pitchers when it comes to all the advanced stats and stuff. He's not getting swings and misses. He's walking guys at an alarming rate. He's giving up a home run, I think, pretty much every start or appearance. 9 games, a 6.26 ERA. 269 average again, 34 home runs allowed, 18 walks. If you watch that Padres start a couple nights ago, it was absolutely just brutal. Sunday afternoon, I think it was. like it's a tough bullet, and it's a tough bullet to take, you know, a tough pill to swallow. But if the Diamondbacks, at least in my mind, can cut Madison Bumgarner and just kind of pay him to go away, I don't know why the Red Sox can't do the same thing with Corey Kluber. Look, it's a move I got excited for in the offseason, but as we've come to find out this season, it's a move that was made 3 years too late, it seems like, because like you said, he is at this point a corpse. He's giving you nothing. Like, we didn't talk about it when Pivetta got moved to the bullpen. You know, he was kind of pissy about that, but at least Pivetta out there gives you something. Like, he can touch 95, 96. We've seen him have success in the bullpen before in the playoffs. So that's, and he was successful his first outing of the night. Unless you feel differently, I feel like you don't. I have no faith in Kluber going to the bullpen and anything going to change. Like, you want a guy that comes in throwing 87, 88 and can't find the strike zone to pitch like in the late game situation? Cause I don't.
No, I don't. And my thing too is, you know, Tanner Houck's been up and down this year, but it's kind of rewarding him too. He had a nice start. Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
On the 22nd against the Angels, went six innings, only let up three hits and struck out eight. So hopefully, you know, with this, you know, boost of confidence, keeping him in there, he can get some really quality starts going. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, I like the Bumgarner likeness you put to this. Mm-hmm. We're like, just pay him to go away at this point.
Yeah, some guys, like, you can eat the $10 million.
Just get to a point where some guys just lose it, and that looks like to be the case with Corey Kluber. So
the good thing about Houck too, it's like you got to think that he's tired of getting pushed back and forth. Like, you'd like to think he had like he's some sort of now. Yeah, you got to figure out what he is at some point. I think this is finally like the final straw of they're going to make him or try to have him as a starter as he was when he's coming up through the minors. Because look, this team needs young pitching. Like, obviously you're getting a bounce back here from Sale. Paxton's been a great surprise. If there was anything to talk about between now and the last time we talked Red Sox, that would probably be it, is how good he has looked, surprisingly. I'm a little surprised and also happy that I kind of figured if Whitlock was coming back, Bayo was going to be the guy that gets optioned, just because it would be the easier move to make. But he's been so good too that, like you said, with Houck, he's earned a spot in the rotation at this point. So it'll be interesting to see how Kluber makes the transition. But again, like, if you can't get anybody out as a starter, maybe he gives you something like in a one-inning role. You see that velocity tick up a little bit like we've seen with Pivetta, but I don't know how you can have any faith in him. Like, the only spot you can use him in at this point is if you're bringing him in either up 10 or down 10, because, like, there's really no spot for him to come into a game. Maybe he'll prove us wrong, but I just don't know how anyone can feel comfortable about that right now.
Yeah, I think they're handling it pretty well. So no qualms here from me. But that is going to wrap up moments of the week. The meat and potatoes tonight is, of course, the Celtics, who are not dead yet. And we did not have a chance to talk about the Grant Williams, Jimmy Butler conversation. So we'll start there and work our way back to, you know, present day in the moment, what we're thinking with the Celtics.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask you this question. We were both of us had some very strong opinions about this when it happened, both on opposite sides. After, and this ties into how he played last night, how game three went with how the team looked as a whole. Have you changed your opinion on Grant Williams? Because you, when you texted me, pretty much put most of the blame on him for that game two loss. I'm not going to say, do you want to apologize to Grant Williams for how well he's looked in the last couple nights? What is your stance on Grant Williams right now with how things have gone?
No, I think it's nice that he's been useful lately, but I just don't think, as a guy who's struggling to get minutes, you can, in good conscience, do that in a game.
That is fair. I'll give you that point. But go ahead.
It's so insane to me how you can do that, and in doing so, give the Heat even more reason to not only beat you, but beat the shit out of you, like they did in game three. So, didn't love that. It's a little easier to stomach now that they've won game four, but I 100% thought they were going to get swept. The main thing for me is, like, you're a bench player going up against maybe the most clutch player left in the playoffs. And we're talking about a league where Nikola Jokic is still in. Like, Jimmy Butler is that clutch in terms of, you know, past history in the playoffs.
I wouldn't argue that against you.
It's a crazy thing to do. You have to control your emotions. And he's lucky that Jimmy Butler didn't drop 40 on the next two games and end their season at four.
Yeah, I'm with you on a couple of those things. I texted you when it happened. I agree that, like, if you're going to go after somebody, Jimmy Butler's the last guy out of anybody on either team that I would want to go after because of what we've seen him do in the past. And as you said, one of the clutch plays. I'm right there with you. I would argue he's, you know, Jokic just had a great postseason, but Butler has done it year after year, stepping up. That's why he's got the nickname Playoff Jimmy. I might be on an island. I didn't have a problem with it. And again, after what you saw in game three, the whole team just kind of lie down. I mean, Grant played okay in game three. He got cooked a couple times by Jimmy Butler, but that's going to happen. And like I texted you too, game two, you know, Miami's got a chance to come back and win it. You knew one more push from Jimmy Butler was going to come at some point. Obviously, it comes after that, which again makes it look even worse. But my problem stems from that it is the guy that is struggling to get minutes going into that game. That's the one. That's the guy that is going to get face to face with the other team's best player and get pissed off and try to rally the troops. Like, that's something Tatum or Brown should be doing. Now you come to find out, I didn't know this, but Jaylen Brown apparently works out with Jimmy Butler in the offseason, so they're buddies. So now you're not going to have those two guys jaw back and forth with each other. So that's kind of what my problem is. It's like, I feel like, and again, it goes into the whole soft performance in game three. Like, I feel like a lot of these guys look at each other more as buddies than competitors. Like Grant Williams, and obviously they both talked about it afterwards, Williams and Butler, and they both respect each other. But that was where my problem was. Like, you have your seventh, eighth at this point in this series bench guy coming off, playing well, going at the other team's best player, and no one really did anything after that for the Celtics. They, again, kind of just laid down and let Jimmy Butler do whatever he wanted to do, and cook Grant Williams, so there was really no defense for him there either. But yeah, I didn't have a problem with it other than the fact that it was, you know, it's the wrong guy to go after.
Yeah, I really hated it in the moment more than I do now. And fair enough. I still hate it in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, he's lucky they didn't get swept.
Absolutely. Yep.
Game three, though, I mean, like, just no heart, nothing.
No, not in the slightest. And that's why I'm right there with you, too. Like, I figured game four, it's over. Like, you get embarrassed that bad. I
thought that was going to happen again last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Same thing. I said it when it happened. I'm like, that's congrats on the Heat for being the first team ever to win a seven game series in three games. Cause I thought the Celtics were as dead as they possibly could be. They couldn't be in a better spot to just, if they wanted to phone it in game four and go on vacation afterward. They're already down in Miami, down in South Beach. So it'd be a good spot to just kind of go away afterwards. Like everything that could went wrong in game three went wrong in game three. You let Miami shoot 56.8% from the field. You let them shoot over 50% from deep, 54.3. Gabe Vincent goes for 29. Duncan Robinson goes for 22. Caleb Martin goes for 18. They combine for 69 of Miami's 128 points and outscore both Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Like, that can't happen. We've talked about it going into this series. That was going to be the big thing with no Tyler Hero. Where would Miami's scoring come from? Their role players, they're, if I have to hear it one more time on a broadcast, they're undrafted guys. Did you know they have like seven undrafted guys on this roster?
Nope, didn't know that.
Okay, I'm glad I... glad I brought that attention to you.
Yeah, never heard it. They never talk about it.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, like, that's obviously a huge problem. Marcus Smart having a complete meltdown. I don't know how much of this game you watched, but took a swing at one point at Caleb Martin. And then the next day, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, someone caught a video of him screaming at Jimmy Butler, kind of like a little kid almost, being like, stop talking, we beat you last year. So like, again, that just went into just the complete meltdown of the team.
Come on.
It last year. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, game three was everything that you hate about the Celtics team. Just the no-show, Brown and Tatum struggle again. And like you said, I don't think it was too crazy going into game four to think the series was over because of what happened in that game.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody could reasonably say otherwise after that pathetic performance. You know, it's easy to say like, oh yeah, they bounced back. You know, they know what they did wrong and like they're going to come out fired up. But like, just felt like a dead dog.
Mm-hmm.
This team just felt like a dead dog.
Yeah.
You had Tatum and Brown combined for 26 points, which is just pathetic in a must-win game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, like, it's going to be quite the offseason, no matter how this series ends. And, you know.
You were ready to blow this thing up. If you come off of that after one win, which you're kind of as we transition game four.
Blow it up. That's dramatic.
I
will wait till the rest, the end of the season. Because I have a way, I think, that they can make smart moves.
Okay.
But not quite blow it up.
Mm-hmm. So as we transition into game four, talk a little bit about that then and kind of the series moving forward. What is, I guess I'll start with just your thoughts, or just your thoughts overall on the game, what kind of stood out to you, and then moving forward into the series. Do we get a game after game five? What do you think this team, like just your whole overall thought process, I guess is what I'm getting at here. Anything that stood out to you last night particularly?
Yeah, it was a much more well-rounded effort. Gives me more confidence going into game five for sure. Still not like in a great frame of mind with this team, but you know, it wasn't easy. You know, it was back and forth for a lot of the game, but the fact that they came out with a 17-point win is not something I expected. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything that stuck out as like terrible in this game, but okay. There's just a lot more work to be done. It sounds cliche, but that's mm-hmm. kind of where I'm at. I'm pretty lukewarm right now.
Yeah, as am I. Like, I think last night too, watching the game or trying to watch it while I was at work, caught the majority of the first half, was lucky enough to get home and see the whole second half. But last night was just, I think, the epitome of what pisses you off with this team. Because again, this way they started off was not great, not playing a ton of defense. You know, shots obviously weren't falling. They get outscored 29-23 in the first quarter. Miami goes on a couple of runs where at least I was sitting there watching the game like, okay, here we go. This is, they get up six, they get up double digits, it's over. They're going to crumble again, like you said, have another game three performance. You let Caleb Martin go 6-for-6 in the first half, doesn't miss a shot. Good player. Like, don't get me wrong. He's one of the guys that has obviously stepped up a ton and has kind of made a name for himself, but a guy that you should be able to limit. You don't do that. And then, like we've seen this team do in the past, and it's been the biggest problem with them, is for whatever reason, just a flip of a switch goes off. The second half, they erase a 9-point deficit, going an 18-0 run, and they never look back in that. So a frustrating night, at least to start, but definitely, like you said, plenty of good to come out of it. But that's just what's so aggravating about this team, is it again, in a must-win situation, it took you an entire half to be like, oh, shit, we should probably start playing a little bit here. Did plenty of good in the second half, but where was the – and again, they got called out by Charles Barkley, Shaq during the halftime show, just being like, you need to show some sort of – some effort here, or, you know, a little bit of fight more than you're doing, which, again, it just plagues this team constantly.
Yeah, and, like, I really – outside of my biggest pet peeve is when they just take threes when they shouldn't or don't mm-hmm. need to. Was like these hero ball passes they do sometimes. And yep. Jason Tatum turned the ball over like three times within like 4 minutes last night. It was driving me crazy. I was texting
three in the first quarter. I think it was, he had like, three in the first quarter.
You just can't be making turnovers like that if you're a player like Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the end, I think the consistency across the board was a lot better. You limited the Heat from three by an extreme margin in comparison to the first three games of the series. If you noted here, they were shooting 48% from the three in games one through three, and shot 25% as a team last night. That's a huge difference. And
yep, absolutely
going forward. So,
yeah, they did a great job running guys off the 3-point line, making Miami make mistakes. Obviously, you know, like you said, the graphic that I got this from was from TNT's postgame show. Celtics defense as a whole was better. And again, it turned up the intensity in the second half, particularly on that 18-0 run. Where again, we've talked about it before, where Joe Mazzulla has been caught talking about how, you know, the offense sets the defense, or however he likes to word it. Like, at least to me, it's the opposite. Your offense comes from your defense. You've seen it. When they don't play defense in the series, that's when the offense tends to struggle. You saw it last night when they turn up the intensity. They start getting turnovers. They speed Miami up. That's when they end up working out well. Miami, through the first three games, were averaging 12 turnovers a game. They had 16 last night. Boston, for points off those turnovers, averaging 19.7 to the first three games, had 27 last night. And then the bench points for Miami, again, like I talked about, guys stepping up and playing out of their minds. First three games, they averaged 42.3 last night. They had 28. So you limited pretty much everyone. Jimmy Butler had his moments. You know, the 29 points on the stat sheet's going to look like he had a good night. That was mostly came in the third quarter. He dominated. The Celtics answered 15 points in the third quarter on 5 of 9 shooting. Got to the free throw line, went 4 for 4. But in the fourth quarter, the Celtics dominated him. 5 points, 1 of 5. They were throwing literally everybody at him, and everybody. You know, Tatum had his chances. Brown, Grant Williams, who blocked him. And that was kind of a big thing for me, too, is he blocked him and didn't have a repeat performance of game two, getting in his face and pissing him off. He kind of looked at him and then just kind of tossed the ball away, which is good to see. But that was kind of some of the things that stood out to me. Celtics got more reinforcements than they had in this series. Derek White was excellent, starting once again, 16 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Al Horford finally gave you something offensively, which is good to see. I know he's probably looked at more as a defender mainly for the playoff run so far, but 12 points from him, had a couple of big threes. And then Grant Williams, of course, who, you know, maybe played his best game of the series. I know he hasn't played a lot and has obviously been under the microscope. 14 points, hit 4 threes. 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, block, and 29 minutes played. I saw Kendrick Perkins after the game talk about that moving forward, Grant Williams is a guy that should be getting 40 minutes. I don't know if I go that far because that's a little egregious, but Look, he stepped up great. Again, he's a guy that's going to be looked at a lot because of what's happened in this series so far. When you got pretty much nothing from Malcolm Brogdon, who has struggled tremendously in this series, and Rob Williams didn't have a great night last night, Grant coming off the bench and being able to give some guys some minutes here and there was great to see. And again, played very well defensively.
Yeah, I mean, overall, you're going to take that effort. They need to bring it into Game 5 and beyond. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Game 5, I think they're going to win Game 5.
Do you?
Yes.
Are you in the mindset of one Charles Barkley that thinks the Celtics are going to have a cakewalk, quote-unquote, in Game 5? No. Or what do you see? I don't either. Okay, because I heard that. I'm like, that is egregious. They are. This is going to be tooth and nails, give you a heart attack, I feel like. Because if you listen to Jimmy Butler, they're very confident that this thing is still over. Like, all he says is we're going to go in, get a win on the road, and pretty much be done.
Yeah, I think it's over in six mm-hmm. for the Heat. And, you can't sour out after a road win, right? You can't just completely lame duck it, right? That's my mindset. You can't just underwhelm going back home after winning on the road in Game 4. Like, mm-hmm. That's my mindset. You know, it's been a bit deflating this round, but overall, like, I think the Celtics team is capable of it. I just have a good feeling about Game 5 now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of
differently in Game 4. If it was a little closer, I feel differently, but I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good right now.
If you look at it, the odds are maybe stacking the Celtics' favor a little bit. I think they've lost, what, 5 straight home games or something ridiculous like that. They've lost, I think, 8, or they're under 500 at home in the playoffs this year, so that streak's obviously got to end. Everyone, of course, is talking about that no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. Kind of funny that one Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter were both in attendance at the Miami game last night, and the Celtics win that game.
They just set the game up that way.
That's what I mean. So maybe history is on the Celtics side here. Maybe they go against history and prove some people wrong. But I don't know. It's a lame duck answer, but I'm kind of in the mindset of ask me after Game 5. Because if the Celtics pull out of Game 5, you know, I think Charles Barkley was the one that said it last night on the post-game show, listening to that. He said, kind of had the cakewalk comment about the Celtics, we'll roll in Game 5. And then once you get to a Game 6, that'll feel like a Game 7 for Miami. Because I think he's right. Like, if the Celtics are able to win, force it to go back to Miami for Game 6, maybe the pressure starts to get to the Heat a little bit. Maybe, you know, they start to hear some talking behind the scenes of, you know, are you really going to blow a 3-0 lead? Are you going to be the first team to do it? Jimmy Butler has the mindset where I don't think it's going to affect him. Like, I think he'll be fine in that. As we've seen before, he's fine in the big moments. But it definitely is something to consider. Like, if the Celtics do get rolling a little bit here, take Game 5, maybe in commanding fashion, you hope they don't start feeling good about themselves, because that's when they tend to run into trouble. But like, if they can keep this like underdog mentality one game at a time thing, look, they're saying all the right things. I found it funny that they kind of took from the Red Sox in 04, like, don't let us win tonight. Red Sox had some proven guys on that team. Maybe depending on how you look at it, you know, that was kind of the takeoff of David Ortiz's career, but they had guys that could back up their talk. Ortiz, Pedro Martinez, you know, guys that knew their role, like a Kevin Millar type of guy. I don't know if, you know, we've talked about it before. Do the Celtics have that type of mentality? So I don't know if I would go that far to be like, don't let us win tonight, but they backed it up. Some stuff to look ahead to in Game 5, just maybe to set up a Game 6, at least for me. Kind of talked about it a little bit. You need more from Jaylen Brown and or Malcolm Brogdon. Brown, I know we like a lot. We've talked very highly of him. He has been downright horrible in this series. Just 16.8 points per game, 39% shooting, 12% he is shooting from deep. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad until I looked it up today. Knew the free throws are bad. He's shooting 44.4% from the line. That is atrocious. And then does not have
the Philly series too.
Yeah, I mean, he got hurt in this. The fall was in the Miami series, but there's some people that maybe think that the hand is more injured than he's letting on. Maybe the elbow or the arm is hurt a little bit.
With this free throw shooting, it's killing me these last.
Yeah, exactly. But if he's not going to score, you need him to affect the game in some other way. Like, don't turn the ball over. Maybe, you know, get some steals defensively. He hasn't, you know, had a ton of steals in this series. Hasn't had a block in this series yet, which is surprising for a guy of his athletic ability. Malcolm Brogdon needs to give you something. He's only averaging 8.5 points per game. If you get one of those two guys, if not both of them, rolling, then you should be in really great shape. Obviously, to help out Tatum and, you know, the supporting cast, but that's the big thing for me, is one of those guys has to start playing, a lot better to stand a chance to at least get to a Game 6.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. Sound points all around. Yeah.
Thank you. Then the other, real quick, wanted to mention, because the other thing too, I forgot to say it. What's up?
I'm just reacting to the fact that this shit is coming out. The other news.
Yeah, the whole the coaching stuff. Well, it will factor into it here. We'll segue into it because the one other good thing I wanted to mention from Game Four that we didn't touch on, and I want to get your thoughts on just a little bit, is Joe Mazzulla, who had looked lost through the first three games of this series, obviously took a lot of heat after, or took a lot of the blame after Game Three. We're saying, you know, he didn't have the guys ready or everything. Maybe had his best coaching performance of the entire season last night, particularly again with all the timeout stuff that people talk about. Had a timeout at the start of Boston's 18-0 run. You know, Tatum hit a couple of threes to cut Miami's lead to 61-58. And then they had a possession. A lot of people have been talking about this that kind of stood out to the players and the media people and just, again, the talking heads. Had a possession where it started stalling out. Brown was stuck in the corner. You were kind of waiting for him to, like you said, dribble the ball off his foot, turn the ball over, you know, throw a ball away. And Mazzulla called a timeout that apparently caught a lot of the players off guard, which was good to see because, you know, you don't expect that in that spot. And then after that timeout, the Celtics went on, like I said, their 18-0 run. He also had another timeout at the start of the fourth quarter. Miami was on a mini 6-0 run. The Celtics answered that and responded with a 12-0 run, put the game away 100-83. And then I was listening to Felger and Maz today, and Maserati looked at it, and he said, after every timeout Mazzulla called, I think it was four of them last night, the Celtics scored on every single one of them or got to the free throw line. So something has apparently clicked with Joe Mazzulla. Maybe it's the, as you were going to talk about in a second here, all the reports that have come out that, you know, guys are pissed that Ime's gone. Maybe he finally looked in the mirror after Game Three and took all that blame and said, like, I obviously have to be better and I have to, you know, coach to the moment. You have any thoughts on that stuff? And like I said, that was kind of the big standout to me, is he finally looked like he kind of knew a little bit of what he was doing out there.
Yeah, I think he had a brain blast.
Good way to sum it up. Okay.
Honestly, like,
you see the gears turning in the.
Yeah, I can't really act like I know what goes on inside their heads super well, but I'm glad he's
fair enough.
Timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he had the little angel on his shoulder telling him to use timeouts. And the Maybe. Devil's on vacation. So
yeah, thank God.
Don't you use your
timeouts. Flip that thing off and got away. Yep.
Who needs
Don't them? Do it. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. The off-court stuff really bugs me, though. I hate that this is coming out with the, you know, not loving the dismissal of Ime. I hate that it comes out at this time. Why at this time? Is this something Woj has
things been are going bad
for all year to say, or is this like, you know, brewing again for some reason?
Mm-hmm. Well, it all depends on who you believe. Do you believe Jaylen Brown, who shut it down last night, or
no.
Do you believe Woj? I'm torn because, like, obviously a player is going to deny until, you know, obviously you never get the full story. But the Woj thing definitely caught me off guard, like you said, talking about that the team never got over Ime Udoka's dismissal as head coach. These players did not accept the organization's reason for doing it, thought it was a wild overreaction, which after Game Three, when that comes out, and again, the timing's weird, as you said, after Game Three, ready to write the team off as like, oh, they're weak. Like, that, this is something that shouldn't be affecting you. Like, basically get over it. Like, the guy effed up a great opportunity. Now he's gone. You have a new head coach. Like, move on. This shouldn't be coming out this late in the season. Then I saw a tweet that said, apparently Adrian Wojnarowski and Ime Udoka are represented by the same agency, Creative Artists Agency, CAA, for people that know what that is. So that coupled with the timing of it, of course, Celtics down 3-0 after getting smoked. Something tells me there might have been a little bit of an inside job there. Like, hey, just put this out there and see if we can really crumble this team as one last kind of, if Ime's thinking that, like, F you type of thing. But
not going to be too tinfoil hat here, but, like, that had something to do with it. It had to have. There's no way this is just a coincidence. I won't believe it.
No
chance.
It's definitely something. And then the Kevin O'Connor from his comment too about how the sources tell me that the past week the Celtics team feels like a group that is tired of fake liking each other. Again, like, I always look at those things whenever we talk about these type of stuff. And the thing that stands out to me is the past week. Okay, so why didn't any of this stuff come out like last Tuesday or whenever before games 1, 2, or 3? Like, if this is such a big thing, like when shit hit the fan in the Atlanta series or the Philadelphia series, why didn't that stuff come out now? Just because it didn't look as bad as getting smoked against the Heat in Game 3.
The Eastern Conference Finals.
Exactly. Like, so that's why I like a lot of this stuff. And like you said, you know, the players, you know, depending on who you believe, Brown talking about it, so obviously we went and performed the last three games, and you start to hear all these stories come out about X, Y, and Z, and 99% of them aren't true. I'd like to know what the 1% is that that is true. That's kind of maybe interesting to look at there, again, if you want to get your tinfoil hats out. But yeah, all the timing of this stuff is weird to me. And again, coming after getting, you know, curb stomped in game three, like I can't get behind really any of it, especially the stuff about Ime and Woj having the same agency. Like that just screams inside job to me.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. I hate that it's coming out at this point.
Yep.
It's so lame.
Yep.
But anything else we want to touch on with basketball?
No, just the final thing for me for game five and moving forward. Like you saw it last night, play defense, hit your shots, turn Miami's role players back into role players for the series or for game five?
I'm going Heat and six.
I want to say Heat and six, but I really think if the Celtics get game five, I think things could get very dicey for Miami. But again, this is what aggravates you about the Celtics team is that they play their best when they're in these shit situations like this. Like you shouldn't have to be down 3-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals to wake up finally. Mm. It's just so frustrating too, because we've talked about it plenty of times. And it's the cliche, like, oh, they're the better team on paper. Like they haven't beat at every position. You do the player draft, you're going to take a bunch of Celtics before you take the first Heat player. Like,
those are so goofy to me, this player.
They draft. Are, yeah, a little bit. Like, I mean, kind of obvious who you'd pick, but. Like, again, they're the better team all around on paper. They just have the only thing they haven't done is played like it. And again, it's the mentality for whatever reason of just not being able to play when you're having success. The things that are up against them, like you can't do it, but you would hope they don't lose a sixth straight home game. Like you got to think that streak breaks at some point. A buddy of mine texted me, we were talking about it, and he said it. He's kind of in the mindset Celtics in seven, where he said like, hey, the winless streak or the losing streak of being down 3-0, somebody has to get the first win at some point. Why not it be the Celtics? And that would fit this team so well. That like, again, backs against the wall, everything they do wrong, they tend to come out and show you something when, you know, the chips are down. So would it surprise me if they come back? No. Would it surprise me if they lose at home game five, if Jimmy Butler really does think this is over? That wouldn't surprise me either, but as I texted you too, every time I've picked the Celtics to win, they have lost these last couple of games. Every time I've picked them to lose, they have won. So I am going to, I know I just said they're probably going to win game five, but to stick with my joke of a thing, I'm going to say Miami closes us out in five and hopefully we get a game six.
Works for me.
Yep.
It's draft time. We're going to do logos. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a coin flip here.
I was just going to ask, how are we going to...
Yeah, I'll let you pick heads or tails.
Tails never fails. Let's go with tails.
It is heads. I will send proof.
Tails fails. I was waiting for you like to flip it in front of the...
Tails does, in fact, fail sometimes. I will get first pick. We're doing one pick for each of the four major sports leagues.
Are you snaking it? We had this dilemma the last time we did a draft where we didn't know if we wanted to snake. And we did snake it, so... I think you had the first pick in that one, too. And then I snakes two picks. So your call on this one.
I think it might be. I feel like it might be more interesting if we don't snake it this time.
Fair enough.
I have some in mind. I got inspired to do this because of the Yak. They were doing something like this. I couldn't find the one they used, but this one has a bunch of throwback logos. And man, I wish I could use some of them. We're doing current logos.
Yeah, that was my big question today, because there's a lot of nasty throwbacks. So I'm like, that would just complicate everything.
That would be so hard. I'm going to go baseball first, and I'm going to pick the Toronto Blue Jays.
Ooh, that wasn't my one or my two, so that's good then.
Okay, interesting. I feel like that's a pretty universally liked one. I like their old logo, too. It's a little
goofy. Their old one was good, yep.
A little goofy looking, but it was still cool. You know, makes you think of guys like Frank Thomas and Alex Rios and Vernon Wells of those days. Roy Halladay, rest in peace. I think Blue Jays is a good 1-1.
Okay.
I'm
trying to get in your head because I want to go hockey, and I have my list here next to me, and I don't know. There's two ones for hockey that I think you could go with. And it all depends on what comes down to what league I think has the better logos or which one stands out to me more. But I think I'm going to go with the NHL, and I'm going to take the Red Wings as maybe a surprise to people. Did I get yours? Yep.
Damn it.
Let's go. It's between the Red Wings. My one and two is Red Wings and Bruins, but I went back and forth all day today. And I'm like, that is just such a classic logo.
So clean.
Well done. It absolutely like fits the, obviously the team name fits the city of Detroit, like very good logo. So I apologize for that.
I thought I could wait. Damn it.
That's good. I'm glad I had the exact same thought process. I'm like, if I don't take this now, he's going to get it within one of his next couple picks. So
it's a good pick.
Thank you.
All right. I might as well just wait for my hockey pick for the last round then, because there you go. Will be available.
Now you have a chance to steal my football or my basketball.
Let's see. Damn it, I really wanted the Red Wings. I had an off the board. I was thinking going Miami Marlins too for baseball, but I didn't. I did see a list
that was one of the top ones. I'm like, that logo, I would have went with a throwback for that one though, the F with the Marlin behind it.
Yeah.
Like I like that one more than I like the new one.
Mm-hmm. Me too. For me, I'm gonna go hockey last because I can. Mm-hmm. Basketball, I am gonna go Boston Celtics.
Yep, that's the one I had for number one.
No. Can't beat Lucky. I figured you might want that one. So
yep, that was gonna be my next one if I didn't take baseball or on the fly here. Should we do two rounds to make it really interesting? And then because like I feel like we obviously have, like I said, for baseball, we definitely have different lists, so or different okay. ones.
I like two rounds.
Okay. Yeah, that'll make it more interesting, and then a little longer. We won't be done like in the blink of an eye. I'm gonna go baseball on that note. Or do I go brew? I gave my hockey one away. Now you might want to change where you go. I'll be courteous though. I'll stick to the one sport for the first round.
Do what you want. Be an asshole if you want to be an asshole.
I'll go baseball, and I'm gonna take the Brewers. The M and the B with the glove. Yeah, that's like. Yeah, I had a 1A, 1B situation there, but I just like the look of that. Again, like there's not a lot of people, or a lot of people know it, but some people might not know that the baseball glove is made up of the M and the B for the Milwaukee Brewers. So,
okay.
Very nice looking logo.
Now that we're doing two rounds, I assume we're gonna just do two of each then.
Correct.
So I am going to take my hockey pick third, and I'm going to take the Kachina. I'm going to take the Coyotes.
You and I have two very different lists.
Technically one of their primary logos. You know, the regular Coyote is technically their primary, but they do wear the Kachina, so I'm counting it. You veto?
I do not. You are good.
Yeah. Cool.
I like where your head's at. I'm going right back to hockey then, because now I'm afraid you're going to take this one later on. I'm taking the Bruins. I got to have one Boston sports team on my thing. Yeah, obviously, you're one of the originals. Very nice logo, and definitely not a homer pick in the slightest.
No, not at all. So I have to pick football now. Ooh, I don't want to go with football. I have one in mind, but I want to kind of rethink this a little bit just to make sure I'm not missing anything. I do
football
like
the tough
Patriots.
For me.
I do like the Patriots logo a lot, but I'm not going to pick it because it's not my favorite. NFL. Any ones I'm not thinking about that I could regret?
It's just riveting content.
I know.
The dead silence of the thought process.
I'm really thinking this over. I'm going to go, might be a surprising one. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills.
That is one I did consider. I flip-flopped
the Bills logo.
Yeah, I flip-flopped that so much, but there were a couple ones I had before it.
It's a safe one. The NFL doesn't have a ton of great logos.
No, that's a couple of the lists I looked at. It might be a top or a hot take whenever I do decide to pick the NFL, because I saw the one I have is my one as a top tier one and then a low tier one. So I don't really, people are kind of, I don't know, lukewarm, I guess, on that one. I do have to go. Oh, no, I can do basketball too if I wanted to. I don't know about basketball. Like, it's tough. Do I go with the classic teams? Do I go with one of the newer logos? I think I'm going to definitely go basketball, and I think I'm going to take the Chicago Bulls. Like, that. Something about the red and black. Like, obviously, good the pick. Giant bullhead. Again, I'm going with like the classics.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Solid pick.
Thank you.
Let's see. So I got any sport I want for right now.
Yeah, you follow the rules of the draft. You didn't take two hockey teams in the first three picks and
set the
draft on fire.
Honorable of me. Yep. There's one I'm going so back and forth on, but I feel like if I'm contemplating it that much, I shouldn't go with it.
For which sport or which league?
For baseball.
Okay.
Damn, I really wish we could pick throwbacks, but let's keep it, a little segued, I guess, if that's the right word for it.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go with the... It's a good... One I think people like in this type of scenario will overrate is just the Cowboys star. Nope, not me.
Well, I couldn't have the Cowboys, just the star. Like I get that it's like obviously probably one of the most well-known logos in all the sports, but like that it's boring. It's just a star. Like if we're being honest here, you gotta have some sort of creativity.
Yeah, you do. I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with the Atlanta Braves.
That is a good one. Just the A or the A with the tomahawk?
The tomahawk, yeah. With the
tomahawk. Okay, good choice. Go
Atlanta Braves, first pick of each round for me is baseball. Might surprise some people. I'm going to go with the Braves.
All right.
That's a popular one. I like the Braves.
I survived my two baseball ones, so I will pick a baseball one last, knowing that you are out on baseball. I need what? One more basketball, and I haven't picked any football yet.
Basketball. Didn't pick an NFL one. You broke the rules.
I said that. You were like, if you want to be a dick, be a dick. I'm like, okay, I'll take the two hockey ones that I wanted.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Because I was worried you were going to, after you took the Celtics, I'm like, he might double up on Boston and take the Bruins, and then I'm going to be upset. And I'm not going to get any Boston sports teams. Because spoiler alert, although I like it, I do not have the Red Sox or the Patriots in my top five for either baseball or basketball. Like, because I don't like the Red Sox one was tough for me. Do you consider the B the main logo or the actual sock? That's what I like. I think the Red Sox is technically the alternate because it was on one of their alternate hats a while back. So like the B, like, again, nice little logo, but not up to par with some of these. I'm going to go with my football one because I want to get your thoughts on it. And maybe you were thinking of taking it too, maybe later down the list. One for me is the Raiders.
The Raiders are good.
Okay, because that's
about the Raiders. I wasn't wasn't going to take them, but I was thinking about it.
Yeah, because like I said, a couple of lists I looked at, one of them had it as like a top five, and then it was the other one was that tier thing that you sent me that most people do it on like the SA, whatever you want to call it, and people had it as like a D tier logo. I'm like, that's kind of surprising. So
yeah, that's a little bizarre.
Yeah.
Good
then. I think that's a steal in the fifth round, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
Thank you.
So I have.
You have one hockey, one basketball, and one football left. Do with it what you will.
I don't know if you'll take this one, but I'm going hockey and I'm going with the Oilers.
Well, I can't take it, so it is yours. Whatever hockey one you wanted, unless I wanted to be a real scumbag. And...
Oh, yeah, you can.
Duh. What did I have for my... No, my remaining ones for hockey of my top five, I had the Sabres 3. I just like the combination of the actual Buffalo and then the two Sabres. I've always liked that logo. And then the colors, I think, are good too. The Penguins, for obviously, again, creativity of the Penguins skate with a hockey stick. And then I had the Sharks on that same too, a shark just chomping through a hockey stick. I contemplated the Golden Knights because, again, I like the helmet and everything. But, like, I don't know. It's tough.
NHL,
for...
But,
yep.
Just show
it's tough for me, the big name hockey analyst on this show. It's tough for me to pick the hockey logos, as we know.
Yep.
All right. So like I said, you're done with baseball. You can't steal my two. What do you have? You have one basketball. And I don't know where you're going to go with basketball. And then football. Like you said, football doesn't have a ton of great ones, so it all kind of gels together. Do I go classic? Do I go against you because you have the Celtics for my NBA logo? Give me some sort of look. What are you thinking for basketball? Yes. It's between two for basketball, but I think I'm going to have to stick with... No, you know what? I'm going to go against it. I'm going to take the Atlanta Hawks.
Ooh, the new one?
I like the new one. I like if we're... just through the years, I like that. Maybe that's a bad value pick at six. Is it? So again, see, that was another one where I saw people kind of in the middle on it. But I like the old one, like the spread out actual hawk. That's a logo I think they never should have changed. Again, color scheme. I like the. Maybe I'm in the minority here. I like their. I don't know if you want to call it like scaled jerseys, but like the little flash they have to it, or whatever, the pattern they have on it. So I like that. Again, color scheme thing, big for me. Maybe that's a hot take pick. It was between that and now I'm probably going to get flamed for people listening between that, the Lakers and the Bucks. Like, but again, I was going through like all the years. I didn't like the old Bucks logo. The new one's kind of just like plain. It's just it's a buck. You got to do something. And then like the Lakers, obviously, if you wanted to go with a classic logo, like you could double up and hit the two powerhouses if you go Celtics and Lakers. So I'm curious to see what you end up doing with basketball.
Yeah, so I'm going to wait on basketball now since you've taken two.
Okay.
And I am going to take
one more football and one more basketball.
Two logos in football. Man, this is tough. I want to go Seahawks, but like I don't know. I'm kind of like back and forth on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa Bay Bucks.
Okay.
I think it's a good safe top of the league in terms of cool logos wise NFL pick. It's between the Bucks and the Ravens for me. I really like the Ravens logo. Hate the Ravens so much.
Yeah, it's
but I the Ravens logo is pretty cool.
It is, yep. Credit. Again, I don't know what I want to do for football. Like all the football ones kind of they didn't gel together, but like not a lot of creativity. Like I know one of my picks is going to be a boring pick. It's just personal. I like it, but it's not that high on my list. Again, like, do I want to go with a team I absolutely can't stand, but have like a classic logo? Or do I want to go? I don't know what I want to do here. I might just take my baseball. I know I said I was going to take that one last, but to give me more time to pick my football one, I'm going to take, again, maybe a hot take, the Seattle Mariners as my second and last baseball. I think that's a great, great pick at the seven. Because again, like just the color scheme, the not landscape, but you know what I like the general area of where you know Seattle kind of fits that that's region was the word I was looking for. That region. I like the like compass thing, obviously the S, like I said, color scheme is very good. So I'm down to one last football. You're down to one last basketball, is it?
Yeah, know what I regrettably didn't consider? I didn't even think of the Kraken.
Oh, for hockey, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of a miss. But I think the Kachina and the Oilers are strong, so I'm cool that, with that.
Yeah, I mean the Coyotes one definitely because like you could just go with like the bland Coyote, but they spruce it up with the crazy looking one. So
yeah,
again, massive points for creativity.
I think another good one, if we're talking baseball too, is the Bucko Pirates logo.
Yeah, I went back and forth, but like,
is that like my, considered a main logo though?
That's exactly it. It falls under the same as the Red Sox. Do you consider that the logo, or is the boring P the logo? Baseball for me, my top five, just real quick. I had the Astros. I like the blue circle with the orange star in the background. Again, it's a little different. I know it's star, but it's different than the Dallas one just a little bit. The Phillies. Again, do you count just the boring P as the Phillies main logo, or do you count the blue diamond with, you know, the Liberty Bell in the background?
I don't like
that one. Not a fan of that one.
Yeah. All right.
And no. And then I like the Mets one. I think the baseball with the city in the background, not a fan of that one either.
I like the Orioles.
The Orioles. Yep. One of the lists I saw, one of the people, TikToks I saw, somebody had, I think Orioles is like their second pick for a draft of like this. So. Again, points for creativity. You could have just, they had obviously the old, just regular Oriole. They spruced it up with the cartoony one, and I think it was a pretty solid choice.
I agree. My last pick is an easy one. NBA, I'm going Golden State Warriors with the Golden
State Bridge. That's a good one, too. Yep. I
love the color scheme. It's just a perfect NBA logo.
I had that one, Celtics for me. And I switched it out with my Hawks one at the very last second.
That's tough, Ryan.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I may have screwed the pooch on that one. Lakers, where's your mind at with them? I had them as my third favorite because, again, just classic. I figured you were going to go, like I said, Lakers, so double powerhouse with Celtics-Lakers.
I really wanted to go Nuggets, win. But with the Warriors on the board, I had to go Warriors.
Absolutely.
I love their logo. Love their
All right, so that was my – I got one win with the Red Wings with the first pick, and then I lost the Hawks pick with Golden State. That's a great value pick at 8 for you, absolutely. I would even say a sleeper at 8 because that's a great pick there. Football, I have no idea what I want to do. For to spoil it, my final ones for my top 5, Steelers, Eagles, Texans, and Dolphins, just to kind of round it out. Like Ravens, for me, it was back and forth with the Dolphins. But like I let my personal hate towards the Ravens kind of factor into that one. Like you said, can't stand the Ravens. I'm right there with you. I think I'm going to stick with the Birds, and I think I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't like the Eagles that much.
No.
I don't know. I just think they could do better. I think you could make a way cooler Eagle logo.
You could, yeah. But I don't know. Something about the logo just for me. Because, again, like the Steelers, like what? I get that there's meaning behind the Steelers logo, but like, I don't know. It just didn't stand out to me all that much. Maybe if there's some Steelers fans listening, they think that's blasphemy, but.
Yeah, and fuck the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Don't that too. A little bit of bias listening. towards Pittsburgh, so.
I mean, that's a pretty good draft. I guess the only logical step now is.
Put a poll up and.
I'll make a little graphic tomorrow with the logos to give a visual representation. And
okay.
We'll see what the people think.
For the people that listen to the Sports Talk podcast but don't know the logos of the sports teams that they may or may not follow, that'll be fun. Well,
it is good context here because you can go either the Braves logo, you can go the regular Coyotes logo or the Kachina.
True, good point. Yep.
The Brewers. Do the Brewers even have another logo, actually?
They used to have a couple. I mean, they have I think it's the Wisconsin State with the M in the middle of it. Maybe people consider that like one of their main logos, but yeah, the one I was going for is the one that's on majority. And then obviously they have I don't know if they still use the M with the like wheat or whatever that was on the bottom of it. But
yeah, I think people might have some difficulty picking here. So I think we could have a tight poll.
Yeah, this definitely isn't as one-sided. Yeah, I meant to text you that earlier today and ask because it would have made more sense. But that kind of just came to me. I think this is definitely more balanced than the if people remember from, I think it was episode, I looked at today, like 71, 79, maybe somewhere in that range, the Thanksgiving food one, that a lot of the consensus was that I may or may not have smoked you on that one. So a lot of people on Twitter, if I remember correctly, were, I think Chris was on my side too. Chris Blackie, if he's listening, if I remember correctly.
I had turkey, I think.
Yeah, but I had everything else.
He is... I don't know, but he's a big turkey guy.
If he's listening, he'll have to.
Anti-ham.
Is he?
So I don't know. I don't know actually what he said, but he's very passionate about Thanksgiving plates and what you put on them. So that much we know for sure. The first draft is in the books. We'll probably have a few more of these throughout the summer. I don't.
It is a good change of pace. Good idea by you. Kudos to you for coming up with this today or the other day when you texted me, whenever that was.
Shout out to the Yak for the inspiration. But yeah, we'll do some of these. I don't imagine we'll be really doing them in the fall because, you know, things will pick up more, but it'll be fun to mix these in every once in a while, switch things up and, you know, lead people to embrace debate.
Absolutely.
We'll even post this on the TikTok.
Oh, there we go. That'd be good.
That's a good idea. Thank you so much for listening on this, another Wednesday night. You can find us wherever you find your podcasts. You can find us on the Full Press Coverage Twitch and YouTube channels as well. You can also follow their various Twitter accounts and Facebook pages. You can find me on Twitter at @Mike_Karate. You can follow Ryan at @Ryan_Savaggio and the show at @SalAndKaratePod. Maybe the TikTok, if you know we're posting this week, we'll get active this week and get some comments going. Seems like something people would go at each other on. But
imagine fights just breaking out in the comments.
If you're on Twitter or if you're on TikTok or whatever, and you think there are some that we missed, let us know. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Stay safe, stay healthy, be nice people. Go Celtics, and we'll talk to you then. Peace out.